The legend of the Loch Ness Monster is one that I'm sure many of us know about. It's intrigued and disappointed thousands over the past century who have gone in search of that mythical beast. One man in particular, however, has remained a resilient watchman at the lake for the last 29 years. He's refused to give in to disappointment. You'll see his picture on the screen next, a fellow called Steve Feltham. He arrived at Loch Ness back in 1991, having quit his job and sold his house in order to purchase a van that he could live in and in order to pursue his passion. And he now holds the Guinness Book of World Record for the longest continuous monster hunting vigil at Loch Ness. When asked, he explains his seemingly absurd commitment and his dogged faithfulness to the cause. He says this: "The reason I sit here and I try to solve this mystery is because that is what makes my heart sing." He says, "My life gives me freedom, adventure, unpredictability. It's a dream come true." Fascinating, isn't it? What makes your heart sing? Over the course of this series, we've been thinking about what it looks like when a person commits their life to becoming a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. And when we do, we discover that unlike the Loch Ness Monster, that the message of Jesus Christ is no legend or myth. It forms the foundation, rather, of reality itself, and it takes us on the real quest of a lifetime, one that fulfills and takes us to that place of real freedom and adventure and unpredictability, far more than looking for the Loch Ness could ever provide, more than we could ever dream of. As God's Spirit makes a home in our hearts, and as we submit to his work, this new story is written on our lives. We're set free from those things that hold us back from experiencing the flourishing life that we are made for. And increasingly, we find that we're becoming more like Jesus Christ, with a new purpose for living in this world. And as we do, we learn that there is no greater calling in this life than to live a faith-filled, faithful life based on God's promises. And so this morning, we come to the fruit of faithfulness, the practice of living faith-filled, faithful lives. So we've looked so far at, we say them together, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, okay? The practice of living faith-filled, faithful lives. And when I think about living like that, my mind immediately turns to this character in the Old Testament right back at the very beginning called Abraham. Maybe you'll remember from how all of the people on the earth, God chose this one man, Abram, who then became Abraham, not because there was anything special about him. God chose him simply because he wanted to, so that through this one man, he could bless the whole world. And in calling Abraham, God gave him a purpose, and he gave him a promise. And in that promise, he says, "Out of you, I will make a great nation. I will bless you, and everyone on earth will be blessed through you." The thing was, to receive this blessing and to become the blessing to the world that he was meant to be, Abraham had to respond in faith and faithfully follow God's leading in his life. To become this man, this blessing that God was calling him to be, he had to first leave his country, his home and his family, he had to leave them all behind, and he had to go to the place that God would show him. And as we continue to read the pages of Scripture, we see just what happens in Abram's life. Even though he didn't know where he was going or where he'd end up, he took God at his word. He believed God's promises. And he stepped out in faith, faithfully following God's voice as he led him all along the way to the promised land. And of course, as the story unfolds in Genesis, the first book of the Bible, much like our lives, we discover that there were twists and turns in the road along the way. God promised that the way Abraham would bless the world would be through his own offspring. And in chapter 15 of Genesis, God promises that his descendants will be as many, as numerous as the stars in the sky. The problem, though, was that Abram and Sarah were getting old. They didn't have children. But God's promises would not be broken. And so when Abraham was 100 years old and Sarah herself was 90 and well past childbearing years, God gave them a son, Isaac, through whom this promise would continue. But then God asks Abraham to give up his son, Isaac, as a sacrifice of worship to God. It's a request that's hard for him to understand. It's hard for us to understand as we come to Genesis 22. Why would God give me a promise on the one hand and then seemingly take it away on the other? Once again, the Bible tells us that Abraham trusted God for more than what his eyes could see. And God blessed him and gave him his son Isaac back. God knew that he was willing now to give up everything to follow him. He was a man of faith, faithfully living in obedience to the will of God. And so the promise continues and it unfolds. And the remainder of the Bible tells about how through Abraham and then Isaac and then Jacob and then their descendants, the greatest blessing imaginable comes. The man Jesus Christ, through whose death and resurrection comes the ultimate sacrifice that truly blesses the world by conquering death and sin and bringing the possibility that we can experience true freedom and life with God, the life the way it was always meant to be. God's promise to bless all the nations of the world through Abraham comes true. In Jesus Christ, the promise becomes a reality. And the amazing thing is that Abraham's story, it doesn't stop there. The Bible tells us that like Abraham, we too can choose to be faith-filled and also access the promises of God as we follow Christ. And when we do, we become the spiritual descendants of Abraham by faith. But as we see in the next slide, what does that kind of faith-filled life of faithfulness look like for us today? How do we do it? Looking at that second question first, I think the key to how we do it is found in living in the promises of God. You know, it's interesting that even as God called Abraham and invited him to leave his homeland, he continued to give Abraham 8 promises that would come true if he obeyed. Look at the next screen and you'll see what these 8 promises were from the passage we just read. He says, "I will take you to a land which I will show you. I will make you into a great nation. I will bless you. I will make your name great. You will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you. Whoever curses you, I will curse. All peoples on the earth will be blessed through you." 8 promises. And so as Abraham packed up his caravan and left town, he wasn't just leaving. He was living in the promises of God. Which means that as we see on this screen, next screen here, that whilst faithfulness requires obedience, it's not just about obedience to a command, but rather a response to God's promises. So often I think that we tend to think of the Bible as a manual, a sort of how-to or a rule book that we have to follow. And we're tempted to think that we have to follow the commands of God to somehow gain his acceptance or his approval. The only problem is that the commands in the Bible don't bring life. They certainly don't bring hope. Only promises can bring hope. Only promises can bring life, which is why I think it's important to see that God accepted Abraham first. And then he invited him to follow on this life of faith-filled faithfulness. Not the other way around. You get that? God accepted Abraham first, and then he invited him to follow. Jim Cimbala, in his book Fresh Faith, puts it like this. He says, we cannot live off the commands of God, but rather the promises. The commands of God reveal his holy character to us, and that's good. But they hold no accompanying power. Instead, the grace of God flows through the channel of his promises. God must first do for us what he has promised, and only then will we be able to walk in obedience to his commands. He is our source. Everything must start from him. Perhaps then it's no wonder that faithfulness appears in this list of the fruit of the Spirit that we've been looking at together, because at the end of the day, we can't manufacture faithfulness on our own. It's from God. It starts with him. And interestingly, the word that Paul uses in Galatians here is actually faith, but can also be translated in this instance, faithfulness, which is why I think Abraham's story can be a key to helping us to understand what Paul's getting at. Paul is inviting us to see that following Christ and seeing his life birthed in us by his Holy Spirit will always, always lead to increasing faith and a life led in the promises of God. It inevitably leads to loyal faithfulness as we courageously seek to follow Jesus. And in that sense, what we're really talking about here is faith-filled faithfulness, which begins with Christ and comes from Christ and grows us into people who are more like Jesus Christ, all of which prove God's promises are true, and even as we see his promises become a reality in our lives. As Abraham experiences the gift of God's acceptance and his blessing of goodness poured out on him, he responds with faith and he faithfully follows. And we're invited to do the same, you and I. In Christ, God calls us to greater levels of faithfulness in our lives, but not because we get a pat on the back for doing good, but because it's the right response to the loving faithfulness that he's shown us in Christ. And the amazing thing is that as we live this life of faith-filled faithfulness, we find the real blessings of life that we long for. We discover God's presence and his peace. So what does that kind of life look like? Well, looking back on Abraham's life, we see in the next slide, Hebrews chapter 11, verse 8 says this, by faith, Abraham, when called to go to a place he would later receive as his inheritance, obeyed and went, even though he did not know where he was going. The next slide, as we've already heard, living a life of faith-filled faithfulness that pleases God requires obedience. But as we soon find, it's often an obedience without knowing the final destination. If you're anything like me, whenever you set out on holiday, you want to know where you're going, don't you? You want to know how you're going to get there. You want to have your travel booked, your stopovers mapped out. You want to have your final destination planned. But Abraham shows us that true faith that pleases God is happy to step out and follow even though it doesn't know exactly where it's going to end up or how it will get there, simply because it knows who is going along with you. By nature, we like to be in control, don't we? But true faith accepts that the promises of God are his presence. He will be with us for the journey. as well as his power, the power of his Spirit to work in us and through us along the way, and that his presence and power will be enough. We don't have to be in control because God is in control. And as he leads us, he'll show us the way. Another thing we learn from Abraham is, in the next slide, being faithful doesn't mean you won't mess up. Just after a passage, we see another time when, after having set out, he tells Sarai to lie to the people that they meet and tell them that she is Abraham's sister. He's afraid that when they come upon these people that they'll think that he's her husband, as he is, and that they'll kill him in order to take her for themselves. And in one sense, this is one of those white lies that we sometimes tell in order to cover our backs. And another, we discover in Genesis 20 that Abraham's actually Sarai's stepbrother. It's a bit of a white lie, but the lesson here is that when we step out in faith-filled faithfulness, we can let God be God because he really is in control. He's got it. He's got us, and we can trust that he will look after us and protect us. And if we slip and if we mess up, we can receive God's forgiveness and step back on the path of faith-filled faithfulness once again. Alongside that lesson is another that reminds us that faith-filled faithfulness trusts God to take us where we need to go. So often I think we forget. I forget. God is in charge. And instead we try to develop plans for him, don't we? We can get frustrated by those times of waiting and forget that patience is what's called for. And instead, we can try to step out in front of God. But faithfulness requires us to allow God to set the destination as well as the pace, and it trusts him to take us there step by step. Not long after the brother incident that we were just thinking about there, Abram and his nephew Lot realize that under God's blessing, their herds were becoming too great in order to remain together, and so they were beginning to crowd each other out, and so they decide to part ways and divide up the land between them. Abraham let Lot choose which land he wanted to take for himself, and Lot chose the fertile land, the best land, meaning that Abraham was left over here with the rocky mountainside. And I think our natural inclination in those moments is to choose the best for ourselves. But the next lesson that Abraham teaches us is that faith-filled faithfulness believes that God can bless us no matter where we are. Do you believe that, folks? No matter where you find yourself today, God can bless you no matter where you are. And as we follow him, he'll make us bloom where we're planted. If you're anything like me, I think so often we worry, how am I going to get from point A to point B? Or we look at where others are on the journey and we get frustrated because we think they've gotten further on the journey than us. Or they've gotten nicer land before them. The grass is greener over there. And whether it's to do with our jobs or whether it's to do with our cars or houses or our relationships or our quality of life, we look at our situation and we're tempted to think that we've either got a bum deal or else God's forgotten us. Because we don't seem to be going anywhere, at least not very fast. We may even feel abandoned in life. You know, Abraham waited 25 years for the promise of a child with Sarah to be fulfilled. You don't get that feeling from the sense of the pages. You turn one page and it just seems like, oh, it's just a few seconds ago that this happened. No, Abraham waited 25 years for the promise of this child to be fulfilled. And along the way, it was hard and he was tempted to give up hope. But as God reminded him of his promises, Abraham trusted God for more than what his eyes could see, and God blessed him for his faith-filled faithfulness. Finally, we see through Abraham's life that a life of faith-filled faithfulness will inevitably lead to worship. We come to the end of our passage here in Genesis 12. We see that having experienced something of God's goodness and faithfulness and love along the journey, not once, but twice, Abraham stops off along the way and he sets up altars of worship to God. And as Christians, we are called to live lives of worship, not just on Sundays, but through the week as well. And Christ shows us that our worship, it's got both a vertical dimension between us and God, but also a horizontal dimension as well. And here we find Abraham. He's responding to the promises and the goodness of God in worship, in a vertical sense, him and God. And as he lives this life of faithful obedience, we see him calling out to God in worship in those moments at the end of our passage, perhaps thanking him for safety along the road or looking for guidance for the journey ahead. And in the same way, living in obedience to God's word and thanking and praising him for his goodness and love should cause us to move to worship as well. Worship should be a natural response in our lives to God's faithfulness to us. But worship, it has a horizontal dimension as well. Just as we're called to live faithful lives of love towards God and Christ, we're also brought into faithful community with each other. Which means that part of our worship to God is how we faithfully love and serve one another. And in this, our words will be important. Are we people who faithfully do what we say? Do we keep our promises? In our relationships, in our marriages, in our friendships, in our community life together here? Can people depend on you? Are we faithful in sharing our time, our energy, our resources with one another? Since like Abraham, we too are called to bless and be a blessing. That's what that means. Our time, our resources, our money, what God has given us, it's not just for us to hold, but it's for us to share. We're to be a blessing. Are we faithfully committed to the vision and values of our community life here together so that we are loyal and we stick up for this church and its leadership, and we actively engage and support it? Are we faithful in holding one another up to God in prayer? Are we faithful in caring for one another and showing Christ's love to each other? Are we faithful in meeting together, not just on Sundays when it should be a priority, but also to engage in community life together through the week and in other meetings and life groups and opportunities to serve and so on? In short, as an act of worship, are we living faith-filled, faithful lives of worship to our Heavenly Father? And are we living out our worship as we faithfully love and serve one another, our brothers and sisters in Christ, and the world in which he has put us? So I ask again, what does faithfulness look like? The daughter of missionaries to the Congo Republic once told Pastor Leith Anderson of the time when she was a little girl, she was participating in a day-long rally to celebrate the 100th anniversary of the coming of missionaries to that part of Africa. And at the close of a long day of speeches and music and celebration, an old, old man stood up before the crowd and insisted he had something to say. He must speak. He would soon die, he said, and if he did, what he had to share would die with him and go to his grave. He said when the missionaries arrived to his part of Africa, his people thought them strange and their message doubtful. And the tribal leaders decided to test the missionaries by slowly poisoning them to death. And over a period of months and years, missionary children died one by one. And then the old man said, it was as we watched how they died that we decided that we wanted to live as Christians. It's as we watched how they died that we decided that we wanted to live as Christians. And those who died painful, strange deaths never knew why they were dying or what impact their lives and their deaths had. But through it all, they didn't leave. They stayed because they trusted Jesus Christ. They lived faith-filled, faithful lives to the end. As Oswald Chambers once wrote, as we see on the next screen, the goal of faithfulness is not that we will do work for God, but that he will be free to do his work through us. God calls us to be to his service, and he places tremendous responsibilities on us. He expects no complaining on our part, and he offers no explanation on his part. God wants to use us as he used his own son. And the outcome is that his promise becomes a reality in our lives and through our lives. The whole world is blessed through the faith-filled faithfulness of one man who ended up with many offspring and through whom came the hope of the world, a hope which is kept alive today in the hearts and through the lives of faithful, faith-filled worshipers who live faithfully for their King, King Jesus. This is the life. This is the adventure that you and I are called to as we respond to God's faithfulness and live lives of obedient worship. Faith-filled faithfulness to the end. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you are a faithful God. As your word reminds us, you are gracious and compassionate, slow to anger and abounding in loving kindness, loving faithfulness to your children. Father, in those times when we doubt or question your goodness and your faithfulness to us, Father, we are so sorry. We pray this morning that you would help us to gain a fresh perspective on the reality of life, a reality that in which our lives are surrounded by you, our lives are in your hands, our lives are safe with you, a reality in which on this great adventure to which you've called us, your story, you are leading us somewhere. And even though we don't exactly see or understand the next steps, you will lead us step by step along the way. And as we do, as we live faith-filled, faithful lives of worship and obedience to you, we can be those people who stand in a long line of descendants of Abraham, who become a blessing to our families, and to our church, and to our community, and to our world, as we faithfully shine the light of Christ and become beacons of hope and life and light to the world around us. Father, make us those people. Help us to hold on to your promises. Help us to believe and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, and help us to respond with faithfulness. Grow this fruit in us, we pray, to your praise and glory. In Jesus' name, amen.